And W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. The U.S. Supreme Court's turned down a Republican effort to rekindle a Trump policy banning immigrants who would likely need to rely on public resources. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
The Republicans tried to invoke the public charge rule that says if an individual is going to become a public charge because they're using too many government benefits, they're ineligible to be in the United States. But for decades, it was recognized that people coming to the United States could get supplemental public health benefits like Medicaid or nutritional assistance.
Well, there's word a special Georgia grand jury has finished its investigation into whether then-President Trump and his allies committed any crime while trying to upend his 2020 election loss. The DA will decide whether a separate grand jury should consider formal charges. A new report from a top doctors group now recommends early action to deal with childhood obesity. CBS's Vicki Barker.
Forget waiting to see if a kid simply outgrows obesity before considering treatment.
There's really no evidence for a watchful waiting approach.
Dr. Sarah Hampel of the American Academy of Pediatrics says the evidence now suggests children as young as 12 could be candidates for drugs, and
children 13 and older could be considered for referral for evaluation for surgery.
With diet and lifestyle changes also part of the medical mix.
The number of traffic deaths on American roadways fell slightly during the first 9 months of 2022, but a new government report says pedestrian and cyclist deaths continued to rise. Global agreement decades ago has prompted some good environmental news, as we hear from CBS's Jim Crisullo.
The Earth's protective ozone layer is slowly but noticeably healing. That's according to a new United Nations report. Scientists now say the hole over Antarctica should be fully mended in about 43 years, thanks to a 1987 worldwide treaty that banned certain classes of chemicals.
Well, some 7,000 New York City nurses are striking two major hospitals. Nurses on the picket line say salaries and staffing levels are the big issues.
The staffing crisis is dangerous, and so we need to do something different.
Along with the venerable phone landline, there's this.
This is the AT&T operator. Hello.
Beginning this month, millions of AT&T customers won't be able to dial 0 or 411 to get a real person, service ending, since the company says most people get information online. Checking Wall Street. Right now, the Dow is up 247 points. The S&P is up 49. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil and natural gas keep going up as the Russia conflict escalates.
Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. If you're an SEC-accredited investor and have at least $25,000 liquid now, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects and a huge tax savings for this year. Call 800-278-7455. That's 800-278-7455.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin Rapids Police Department wished a fond farewell to one of their auxiliary lieutenants after 4 years of service. Auxiliary Lieutenant Ryan Schumacher received many well wishes and congratulations from Wisconsin Rapids residents. Ryan volunteered close to 1,000 hours in the community during his 4 years with the auxiliary. He has accepted a position with the Florida Highway Patrol as a state trooper. He will be assigned in the Tampa Bay area. The Wisconsin Rapids Police Department said they will miss Auxiliary Lieutenant Schumacher's leadership, but wish him well in his new career. Unemployment in Wisconsin is around 3.5%. Many employers are struggling to find more staff. This includes the Oneida County Sheriff's Department. They are looking to hire 8 more corrections officers. They've increased the hourly starting rate to almost $24 per hour to incentivize applicants. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. More clouds than sun this afternoon, with the daytime highs approaching 31. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, 27. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs level off around 32. Dry with temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the mid-30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 21.
Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today on your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And a reminder, if you like our show, tell your friends. We're a growing show on a growing network. And if you like what you hear, share the love. So we have, and we talk about it a lot, but in Wisconsin, we have a fair amount of water issues. We have lead pipes in Milwaukee. We have PFAS across the state, you know, CAFOs contaminating drinking water with animal manure. Last week, we had a clogged canal from melted butter.
Yeah, there was that.
Less of a systemic issue, but you get the point. So, but now, apparently, we also have a road salt problem because it's washing into Wisconsin's major waterways, and it's kind of a problem. It's a big problem, not just for us as humans, it's a problem for the species that live in those waters. So here to talk about more about the problem itself, the consequences, and what we can do about it is Allison Madison, who is Wisconsin SaltWise Program Manager, and she has spearheaded statewide collaboration around salt reduction since 2020. Welcome to the show, Matt. Allison.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
So I found this article. I guess, it makes sense, but I found this article first in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it was in reference to a report that a committee of the Wisconsin DNR worked on as far as water quality issues. And basically, in summary, it's that Wisconsin is on an unsustainable path of road salt usage. Is this, I mean, obviously you've been working on this for a couple years now, but for me, this was kind of news. It makes sense, because there is a lot of salt everywhere, and it makes sense that as snow melts, it gets into sewers and into drainage and everything. But what is the extent of the problem?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So really kind of like a step back for people, you know, I mean, I'm in my 30s, right? So growing up, I saw salt, you know, went down. I grew up in northern Wisconsin. I feel like in general, the farther you make your way north, there is an understanding that winters are hard. Yep. And you're going to have to slow down, and there's going to be snow on roads, and you have to, you know, be extra safe. And yes, I did take my dad's car into the ditch once as a high schooler. But I think what we've seen is that since the 1950s and 60s, when we started to put salt down, there's just been this mentality that, you know, if some salt is good, which it is, right? Salt does help us get back to better pavement conditions, right? Keeps everybody safer on the roads. And we see the benefit of that. But there's been this mindset that if some salt is good, well, then more salt is better. And let's just put it down. And like a lot of our environmental issues, you know, it seems like salt just disappears, right? You put it down, the snow melts, and the salt is is gone, right? But we know nothing ever really goes away. So as we continue to put salt down and more salt down year after year, those salt concentrations are just building up in our soils and in our groundwater and also in our lakes and streams. So across Wisconsin, we're seeing that salinization of our fresh water. It's getting to the point in some municipal wells that people who are supposed to be on low sodium diets might be impacted by the salt that's in that water. It's a salt becomes a stressor, right, to our systems, our biological systems. And it also stresses out the organisms that are evolved to live in freshwater. So we're thinking about, you know, fish and frogs and tiny little, you know, critters we can't even see, zooplankton, that are the base of those food chains. So as our waters get increasingly salty, it stresses out their systems. It leads to declines in biodiversity and the growth and reproduction of those freshwater species.
So it's not like, because what I read is there's also a difference in the bigger problem being in the streams, in the smaller, because it, like, at least in like Michigan, there's still runoff. Mm-hmm. But at least because there's so much water, it can dilute more. And so is there a bigger concern over what part of the state, what part of how close you are to water, or is this something the entire state has to be aware of?
I mean, I would say we're all, you know, like water creatures, right? Like our bodies are made of water. We need fresh water. So it really should be of concern to everybody across the state. And it is localized such that, you know, that when that salt goes down, it kind of stays in the local watersheds. And in areas where we see more salt, you know, more salt has been applied, for example, in Milwaukee, right? You just have, it's more urbanized, there's more pavement, more salt going down. And we've seen those concentrations go up from naturally, like, pretty much 0 milligrams per liter of sodium and chloride because it's freshwater, not saltwater. And now we're up into the thousands of milligrams per liter. Yeah. You're shaking your head. It's not a good situation there. And those, again, those are the smaller streams, like you said, that don't have the ability to dilute the salt that's coming into them. Lake Michigan, I mean, giant lake, right? It holds about 1/10 of the world's fresh water. So we've seen concentrations there go from, you know, like 0 to 1 milligrams per liter in the 1800s. And now it's up to, I want to say, roughly 15 milligrams per liter. So still a sevenfold increase, but not, you know, as alarming as we see in our smaller lakes and streams. Also of concern is, the fact that we see salt, well, we're saying, you know, Lake Michigan's maybe only up to 15 milligrams per liter. We see higher concentrations of salt at the bottoms of lakes because salt water is more dense than fresh water, right? So you maybe take a sample in a lake at the surface, and it's not really telling you the full story of what's going on. So there are some lakes in Minnesota, upstate New York, where the lake bottoms have gotten so salty that it prevents natural lake turnover. And so then you're not having that turnover, seasonal turnover that recycles oxygen and nutrients throughout the lake. So it really can change the lake at that ecosystem level too, when things really get out of whack.
Allison, when you're talking about salt in our drinking water, so many of us have filtration systems now. You know, it goes through our fridge first and goes through the filter in the fridge. Are those designed to filter out this kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jane. So really, we don't have great systems to pull salt out of water. Conventional filtration systems that you might have in your fridge or like a Brita filter, they cannot pull out the salt because the sodium and the chloride ions, once you put it in water, they break apart, they dissociate, and then they're just so tiny. And we also see that problem at our wastewater treatment plants. So across southern, kind of southeastern Wisconsin, where we naturally have pretty hard drinking water, lots of calcium and magnesium, right, in that water, people use water softeners. So salt-based water softeners to pull that hardness out of the water work to protect their water heater and their dishwasher, right? All of that salt, those 40-pound bags, right, that we see maybe at Quick Trip, and then we haul down into our basement and put into that water softener, all of that salt goes to our wastewater treatment plants, and then they can't pull it out.
Oh, wow.
So they're actually discharging all of that salt into our local stream. So we see that as another source of salt that's leading to this salinization issue. So I'm actually in a program with Building Wisconsin and the local Plumbers Union. They're collaborating with the Madison Wastewater Treatment Plant to do a lot of education around now the water softener salt kind of source and how people can make sure their water softeners are optimized to use as little salt as possible to be really efficient and not just, you know, regenerating some of those older systems. They really can be salt hogs. So it's working to educate people around, you know, what you can do at your own home around road salt use, and then also water softeners, and then also just trying to have people understand this issue, kind of the bigger perspective, because there are a lot of municipalities in the state that have worked to really right-size their salt use when we're talking about road salt. So we're seeing municipalities drop salt use by up to 50%, 50%. Yeah. And it's not that they're reducing their level of service, but they're incorporating best practices like calibrating trucks. So they know exactly, you know, how much they're putting down, and they can make precise applications of salt based on the amount of like the temperature and the weather trends. They can use liquid, like liquid brine can help salt stick to the road. So it's not bouncing off into the ditch. Stays where we want it to be. And when that liquid is mixed in, it's like activated, and it helps that melting. It just jumpstarts that melting process. Have you guys ever seen those lines on the road before the storm? Sometimes there'll be trucks that are just putting down liquid brine, so salt brine. It's still salt, but before the storm, it kind of works like putting oil on your skillet. You know, if you don't oil your skillet and you put food on there, what are you doing afterwards? You're scraping and you're scraping, right? But if you can prevent that bond from forming between the snow and the pavement, when the plow comes, it comes up much more easily, and you're using a lot less salt in total.
Is there something that individual homeowners and residents, those, so not like the big trucks that are from the city, but like as a, yeah, I am a homeowner. So like, is there something I could be using besides salt that would be better for the environment?
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing that we work to promote is you get out there if you can, you know, early and often, right? And shovel or use that snow blower and work to remove the snow. And then sometimes, you know, the sun can do the rest, mm-hmm, and you don't need a de-icer kind of material. There are a few other options. So if you don't want to use salt, like using some sand just to provide traction in an area. There are some non-chloride de-icers, but there is definitely a higher price point there. And there's also no truth in labeling. So it's hard to know what you're really getting. A lot of things say, you know, environmentally friendly or pet friendly, but they can kind of stick that label on anything.
So with a couple minutes that we have left, if people are interested in learning more about Wisconsin Saltwise or more about what they can do to help, where could they go?
So I would direct people to our website, wisaltwise.com. We've got a ton of resources for people. We also have Wisconsin Salt Awareness Week coming up January 23rd through the 27th. And we're going to have webinars every day over the noon hour. Those will be archived on our YouTube, so you can have a chance to hear from research scientists, from the DNR, from practitioners about a lot of the successes we're seeing across the state. So yeah, I would encourage people to join and learn more and see how they can be a part of this important work.
Absolutely. Well, Allison Madison, who is the Wisconsin Saltwise Program Manager, thank you so much for joining us and teaching us more about what we can do to help not further salt our water, because
keep that fresh water fresh.
Keep the fresh water fresh. Keep the salt on your French fries. All right. Thank you so much, Allison. We will take a...
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Peace. Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Inflatable pool full of dad's hot air. Well, I was 3 years old, splashing everywhere, and so began my love affair with water.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us in the noon hour. We were just talking to Allison Madison about how salty our fresh water is getting, which is not a good thing.
No, it's not.
And we have some control over that as residents and how much salt we put down, despite not wanting to, you know, trying to not have anyone fall on our property, but also knowing that there's other ways besides just adding more salt. Also municipalities knowing how much they should be putting down and looking at different
application methods.
Yeah. But that is not our only water problem, because it's PFAS is so bad. And there was another story over the weekend, maybe late last week. No, this morning.
Yep, in the Journal Sentinel.
This morning in the Journal Sentinel.
Yep.
In the town of Stella, which is up in Oneida County. And the levels of forever chemicals, aka PFAS, are so high. This is up in the Northwoods. They're hundreds of times higher than state standards. And the state and state officials are worried that filtration systems won't actually get the chemicals out of the water.
That's certainly not good.
And as a reminder that these things, when we say forever chemicals, it means that they don't leave, and if they're ingested, they don't leave your body. So it impacts health of adults, of children, property values, the futures of towns. French Island, forgot how long ago this was.
This is near La Crosse, right?
On the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. They couldn't drink the water. They had to drink bottled water. And one of the gentlemen who's interviewed in the piece, Tim Gerdman, he has a Culligan water dispenser, one of the ones that we have, something like that in the office right now. So you get delivered drinking water. But what do you feed? He has 30 chickens. And what does he feed them? What does he do to water his garden? And if all of the things that get the drinking water, besides you just avoid drinking it, it's like, are you just poisoning yourself and you just have to live with it?
The other thing that really jumped out at me from this article, again, from the Journal Sentinel today, the state does random tests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go into a neighborhood and say, A, B, C, D, we're going to eeny, meeny, miny, you. And that's how they discovered this issue in Stella. It was just one residential well that they do on this rotating testing schedule. Think about how many communities in Wisconsin may not have had any testing of this done yet.
I know.
And so they still don't, they don't even know what the water quality is.
When I think about the... whenever it comes to climate stuff, there's this difference between the things that feel like you're in control to a certain extent. So like salting your streets feels like, all right, now that I have awareness of this, I can curb some of my habits. Mm-hmm. Like Allison said, get out there early, get out there often. Usually the sun can potentially melt more of it than you putting down an entire bag of salt. But when it comes to PFAS, article after article, report after report across our state, I can't help but feel like it makes you just feel helpless, because this is on the companies that are polluting the water. And this comes from, what PFAS comes from is mostly like fire retardant foam. Materials. So mm-hmm. like it was foam, it's anything that's waterproof. So it's Teflon. It's Teflon on oh. your pans. It's waterproof fabric. It's things that create a water barrier. It's useful, right? It makes a ton of useful products. But the standards of which the companies that are responsible for then those chemicals getting in the water, and this is what happens at the policy level and the legislative level of like, how much are they allowed to just keep doing it? And you know, when we talk about, this is up in the Northwoods. And so, you know, in the next segment, when Senator Melissa Agard joins us, and one of the things that she's focused on is how do we get more Democrats in Republican areas? And
just, you know, to talk to people.
Just north of Brunswick with Jeff, is it Jeff Smith? You know, we have there's no Democrats in northern Wisconsin. And so at what point does the only thing you can control when it comes to your water being poisoned, you can't stop it. You can drink Culligan water, but you still, the hose, the faucet, everything. And so what does this ever become a voting issue for people? For people who vote Republican typically, but continuously the people who are blocking more legislation, more accountability.
Possibly appointees to boards that would regulate things like this?
And it's, you know, because it harms business, right? This is regulations on businesses, which the Republicans that hold the majority in the Wisconsin State Legislature, the WMC, like, they don't want more regulations because it harms business. And so at what point is the only thing you can do when it comes to this issue is vote differently? And does that resonate enough with people, or is it just something that they're like, well, is what it is. Cost of doing business.
I just don't understand, from a business standpoint, how poisoning your customers is a successful business strategy. And I also wonder, Culligan and all these other places that we buy our bottled water from, where are they going to go, ultimately, if everything is full of salt and PFAS? And where are we going to get clean water from?
Well, especially as Allison was saying, the ability to actually get it out of the water. Like that was for salt, but even if the levels are so high in the town of Stella that you can't even get it out through a filtration system, then what do we do? I don't know. Well, maybe Senator Melissa Agard will know. Stick with us, because she's going to be here when we come back. We're going to talk about all things on her agenda, despite being in the minority. I'm very excited for this conversation. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Pride.
Left corner three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
Nation!
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year, right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Join me in saving lives. Every year, about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon in the U.S. What is radon? It's an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas that can cause lung cancer. Radon comes from the natural breakdown of uranium in the soil, enters homes through small cracks and openings, and builds up inside. Any home can have radon. New homes, old homes, apartments, drafty homes, well-sealed homes, homes with and without basements. About 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Testing is the only way to know. Testing for radon is an easy and low-cost way to save a life, many lives. For more information, call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org. Test, fix, save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions, Thursday at 10 a.m. right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Fuel suppliers have more time to catch up on deliveries in Wisconsin after being slowed down by bad weather. Governor Evers issued an emergency order Friday. It's the second one in a month's time. Weeks of cold and snowy weather have slowed delivery of home heating fuel, like heating oil and propane. Look for Governor Evers' cabinet appointees to get confirmation votes in the weeks and months to come. That's what Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu tells the Journal Sentinel. Senate Republicans largely skipped routine confirmations during Evers' first term. That's left 185 appointments unconfirmed, including key cabinet positions. In sports, we may have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers as a Green Bay Packer. Commentators are speculating about his retirement after last night's loss to the Lions. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. More clouds than sun this afternoon, with the daytime highs approaching 31. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, 27. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs level off around 32. Dry with temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the mid-30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 21.
And so, I am very excited for our next guest. She is a lifelong Madison resident, East High and UW-Madison graduate, proud mom of four sons, and she was first elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly in November 2012, and then to Wisconsin State Senate in November 2020. She represents the 16th Senate District, encompassing much of the northeast and south sides of Dane County, and last month, the Senate Democrats unanimously voted Senator Melissa Agar to serve as the Senate Democratic leader. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Senator Agar.
I'm so excited to be able to spend some time with you and your listeners today. Thanks for inviting me.
And I have to say, this was early 2021 that I virtually was a part, got to be a part of your birthday party. I got to do a little stand-up, Zoom stand-up for the senator's birthday party. And I was looking back at some of the jokes that I made. I was like, oh, maybe I should incorporate some of those in today's interview. not some of them definitely still hold up and have not aged yet.
We are still climbing the same mountain that we were climbing then.
We are. We are. Well, congratulations on your new role. And we definitely want to talk more about that later and how, as far as appointments and setting the agenda and what you feel hopeful about despite being in the minority. But the thing that caught my eye, because it's something that I think is important, is, well, this was from WisPolitics is where I read it, but I think they were referencing a speech you gave even earlier in the fall. But it was basically that Democrats need to boost their outreach despite our gerrymandered maps, despite how the last 10 years and the complaints about how unfair it is, how unrepresentative they are, but they are the maps, they are what they are. And so it is still important for both candidates and elected officials to get out in districts and not to stay in their blue echo chambers. And so with that, what does that look like to you as far as, and what is in your control as minority leader of making sure that happens?
Yeah. So, you know, for over a decade here in Wisconsin, we've been talking about how the boundaries that surround the legislative districts in our state are broken, that we live in this gerrymander. And then with another census occurring and another reconfiguration of legislative boundaries, we have gerrymandered a gerrymander, which means that despite the fact that our governor won, you know, top of the ticket, the elections are very close to 50%, and Governor Evers, in fact, won by more than what he won 4 years ago, the legislature, both the Assembly and the Senate, have a 2-to-1 minority that we are in as Democrats. And that is a direct impact of the lines and how they've been drawn in the state of Wisconsin. So if we're going to beat a drum that's saying that these lines are gerrymandered and that they have caused Wisconsin to be as broken as they are, we need to, of course, pay attention to our constituents who live within those districts, because that's who we've been elected to represent, but also realize that there are amazing people all over the state of Wisconsin that live in communities that we are not engaging with, that we aren't leaving our districts or our homes and traveling into them to hear directly from the fabulous people that work there, own businesses, send their kids to the schools there, recreate there, about what it is that's working and what's not working for them, and provide them with some sort of hope that there are people that want to hear them. Governor Evers won because he cares about our kids and our future. Governor Evers won because he cares about clean water and preserving our environment. He cares about Main Street businesses and allowing people to have dreams that they can achieve when it comes to their own personal prosperity. He won because he knows that the most dangerous thing about cannabis in Wisconsin is that it's illegal and we need to reform that. But the Republicans continue to win legislative seats despite the fact that as Democrats, we embrace those same moral issues that the governor embraces. We know that people all across our state care about that, and they want to be heard. So let's get outside of the Capitol building. Let's take field trips out of our district and sit down at tables and hear from people from all over Wisconsin about what matters to them. That's what we need to do better, and we need to do more.
So basically what you're saying is, as Senate Minority Leader, but having people who have been elected be visiting districts that they don't actually even represent and having those listening sessions and taking it back as far as, I know I don't, you did not vote for me, but I'm here still because Wisconsin is Wisconsin and we want what's good for Wisconsin. And because you may not feel represented by, because of the district that you live in and how the maps have been drawn, we want to make sure you're still heard. Is that what you're saying is like imperative?
It's vitally imperative, right? Like as a state, we have this history of, you know, generations ago helping each other build barns and, you know, sharing our horses and our farm equipment. I don't know about your neighborhood, but people are still making casseroles and lasagnas for their neighbors who are experiencing challenges that might not have the means or the time to feed their families healthy and nourishing food. Those are Wisconsin values. And that's exactly the same thing as getting into our cars and traveling to different parts of the state in sitting down and hearing from people, what are your dreams? Because frankly, I don't think that there is much that divides us as Wisconsinites as the Republicans in the legislature would like us to believe. There are a handful of people in the Capitol building that would like to keep things very divisive. They have all the tools, and they want to be able to make the rules on how it is that we use them. But last I checked, what I learned in fourth grade, what my kids have learned in fourth grade, which inscribed on the ceiling of the governor's conference room, is that the people are the bosses of the politicians. And we need to, if we're going to say that, if we're going to lean into that, then we need to allow the people who are the bosses the opportunity to raise their voices and influence what it is that we're doing in the bill.
Senator Agard, I have to wonder, we spent the last half hour and we were talking about Wisconsin issues, water issues in particular in Wisconsin. And I have to think that that would be something that Democrats could go into the northern parts of the state and address and actually get some exchange with people who are being affected by this, because there doesn't seem to be much response from the other party.
Yeah, you know, water is life. None of us would be here without healthy water. And whether it's in northern Wisconsin that we need to be talking about access to clean, healthy water, or in the La Crosse area, where on French Island they have terrible PFAS contaminations, or in the city of Milwaukee, where they still have an awful lot of lead lateral lines going into schools and daycares and people's homes. We know that none of us would be here without water. And in fact, as Wisconsinites, we define ourselves by having healthy, clean water around us. So absolutely, whether it's the Central Sands or northern Wisconsin or along the Mississippi River or in the Milwaukee area, again, there's a lot more that unites us in our desire to have access to clean, healthy water, sustainable water. Like, this is going to be one of our most magical natural resources on the globe for generations to come. And we, as Wisconsinites, need to be good stewards of it. And I think people in Wisconsin get that. But it's getting harder and harder to get your message out, right? Like, media is being swallowed up by big conglomerations and elected officials who have represented areas due to gerrymandering for as long as they have special places within op-eds and the ability to mail and communicate with their constituents. But how do you hear that other side? That means we've got to get creative and take some road trips. You know, we all have the songs we like to listen to on the speakers in our car, and we all like being able to meet new people and find out about the amazing things that are happening in Wisconsin. So as Senate Democrats, we plan to do more of that.
And it's interesting because you and I are both Madison natives, and I will be the first to admit Madison's a little bit of a bubble. If you grow up there and you sometimes, I would be the first to admit that, like, the only outside access I had to what life was like outside of Madison was Wisconsin Rapids, because that's where my parents are from and still live. And so as a Madison native who now is in a leadership position, what have you learned when you've left the Capitol / Madison and gone to talk to people who are not necessarily your constituents, but in these kind of the effort of listening and the effort of really hearing from more rural areas of the state, what have you learned?
Yeah. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to knock on, I don't want to make up a number, thousands and thousands and thousands of doors. It's much bigger than that. Over my time as being an elected official, not only within my district, but across the state of Wisconsin, whether it's in Shell Lake or in Wausau or up in Green Bay or in Milwaukee or, you know, down in the southwest quarter of the state of Wisconsin, in areas that I can't remember the towns or even if there were towns names, because they were, you know, so far and few between, and my GPS stopped working because the internet was challenging, right? But when you knock on someone's door, they're not expecting you to be there. But when they give you the gift of having that conversation about what matters to them and learning about why it is that you're there, there is so much more that unites us as Wisconsinites, right? Like, we really do. We are proud people. Mm-hmm. We love beer and cheese and the Packers, and you know, have a history of being able, of wanting to take care of one another. And we don't want our kids leaving the state. Right now, one of the most successful exports that we have in the state of Wisconsin is our young people. My oldest son, he's off in New York City now, living in Brooklyn. and I'm proud of him, and he's doing his best. But we invested an awful lot in him as a state with his public education and his through K-12 and then at the university here in Madison. That's a promise and an investment that was meant to stay in the state of Wisconsin. And my family story is not unique. There are many other people who have kids that have left the state of Wisconsin. Those are the stories that you hear at the doors when you're talking to people. Why is it that our schools' enrollments are decreasing? Why is it that our roads quality is degrading? Why is it that people can't work together to solve access to clean water in the state of Wisconsin? And one of the things a lot of people talk to me about just because of policies that I brought forward is, why the hell haven't we legalized cannabis yet in the state of Wisconsin with all these other states surrounding us taking these steps forward, right? The list is well over a dozen issues that we know people in Wisconsin care about, but that Republicans in the legislature are not even allowing us to talk about at the committee level. Democrats and people in Wisconsin have great ideas, and there are real problems that we need to be solving. But the problem is that there's a small handful of people that have all of that power, and it makes it harder when you're not living this reality. It makes it harder to explain to folks what it is that's holding it up. Over and over again, people say, just work a little harder, Melissa. You can work a little harder. Well, we're working awful hard, but when the deck is stacked so far against us, we need people on the outside of the Capitol, the ordinary, fabulous people of the state of Wisconsin, to come in and be part of the movement that we are trying to create in the Capitol to hold the majority party accountable and to ensure that we're really carrying Wisconsin values forward in the policies that we are voting on.
So we have 2 minutes before we have to go to a break, but as you mentioned, working together, there's been rhetoric from both sides, both from Governor Evers, I think from you, but also from Senator LaMahieu and Robin Voss on potentially loosening the gridlock, on working, trying to have this term be a little different than last term. And you are someone who has spent your entire legislative career in the minority. And so what does, I guess, in a word, how would you, what word would you describe to address this hopefulness around potential bipartisanship that people keep mentioning?
It's accountability. People need to hold us accountable for the promises that we're making.
And I want to tee this up, so we might have to go to break before you can answer it fully, but what does realistic bipartisanship look like?
Yeah, well, realistic bipartisanship isn't the majority party coming to the table and saying, I have defined what compromise is, and you need to do what I'm telling you compromise is. And unfortunately, we're hearing a bit of that. So how do we hold people accountable to really what the true meaning of the word compromise is?
It's a very good answer. I really like that answer. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but Senator Agard is still going to be here when we come back. And I'd love to hear more about, despite being in the minority, what is your legislative agenda? And in that realistic bipartisanship utopia, what would you like to bring to the table? So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are talking to Senate Democratic Leader, Senator Melissa Agard. And we were talking about kind of reaching out to different districts that are not necessarily held by a Democrat, but also realistic bipartisanship. But regardless, you have an agenda. You have priorities. We are in a new legislative session. We have a budget to get through. And so as far as where is your focus in this new role as a leader in the minority, and what are you hoping to accomplish this year, but also in this term?
Yeah, so I think we talked about something that's really at the top of my priority list, and that's engaging with and being available to the people of the state of Wisconsin. Coming to Madison, even having grown up in Madison, coming to the Capitol, parking, finding your way around this building, it can be really overwhelming and challenging. There's days when I get turned around in here and I'm not exactly sure where it is that I am in the building. I will give everyone a hint. It's laid out like a compass. So if you look for your directional and know what floor you're on, you're going to be able to find your way eventually. But knowing that, you know, let's take some field trips. Let's get out into the state of Wisconsin. And I look forward to folks reaching out to my office and inviting us to visit them, visit their business, seeing what it is that's amazing in their communities, and hear firsthand what some of their challenges and dreams are, so that we can continue pointing our nose in the right direction and lifting people up. Aside from that, you know, we do have this budget. It's a biennial budget year for the state of Wisconsin. And not only do we have our traditional budget debate, but we know we have over $6 billion with a B dollars of additional money that is sitting in our surplus. And this isn't even our rainy day fund. Our rainy day fund in Wisconsin is super healthy and robust. So, you know, we don't need to be worried about that. But how do we take those dollars and reinvest them in our communities to do the right thing? In my opinion, this money was earned and raised by the hardworking people of the state of Wisconsin, and it belongs back in their hands. It belongs in supporting our schools and our local governments, whether it's towns, village boards, city councils, county boards. We know that everyone wants to be safe where they live, but people are having a hard time filling positions within police departments and fire departments and first responders. People are having a hard time finding clerks to manage their elections and school teachers to teach their kids. So let's get that money back into our local government so that we can actually make things work, as opposed to having bake sales and referendums on a regular basis, which is what is happening at this point in time. And I believe gone are the days where we have to choose what it is that we're doing, because with $6 billion on top of our traditional budget, we can also be providing some real tax relief to the hardworking people in the state of Wisconsin who sent this money to Madison. So let's roll up our sleeves. I've heard my Republican colleagues talk about the fact that they want to fix shared revenue and reinvest in local governments, support public safety. My Democratic colleagues want to do the same thing. We know in Wisconsin that we do better when we actually sit down at the table and talk with one another rather than hold each other hostage.
And I think that's true. I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week as far as what was included in the governor's inaugural speech. And of course, then the rebuttal was that was so partisan. But it's so many of the things that we saw, what how much referenda was passed to fund schools or to fund police officers and EMT and everything that was on the ballot in November. But then also the fact that medical marijuana, there is so much that despite being a 50-50 state, when people vote for a party, when it comes to issues and public opinion polling on our state, there's a lot that we actually agree on that is favorable. And you'd hope that we can get some movement there on some of the things that a lot of voters actually agree on. And so I'm glad I don't have to be negotiating the budget. I'm glad this is people that we elect to go do that. But speaking of elections, there's also a special election that is incredibly important. And so do you feel like in your role now that you have a role to play as far as this special election happening in Alberta Darling's now vacant seat? That is, I think there's only one Democratic candidate, but we have a primary coming up. And so how much of a focus do you give any attention to that? Or are you mostly focused on what's happening in the Capitol?
Oh, I'm absolutely paying attention to not only the special election in Senate District 8, but also the upcoming Supreme Court election here in the state of Wisconsin. We know that what the Supreme Court takes up, they take up the gerrymandered districts in the state of Wisconsin. They take up reproductive access to health care and abortion rights in the state of Wisconsin. They weigh in on the issues that matter most to the people of our communities. And as you pointed out, whether it's cannabis reform or public safety investments to local governments or funding our schools, access to water, ensuring that dangerous people don't have access to dangerous weapons. If my colleagues won their elections by the margins of support that people have in Wisconsin for those issues, they call it a mandate, but they're tone deaf and they're unwilling to have those conversations in the Capitol building. And that's why I am working really hard with the Democratic candidate in the special election in Senate District 8, because I know adding her to our voice just helps us continue to climb the mountain. And I will be working very hard on the Supreme Court election as well, because we need a fair and balanced court for our state to be able to move forward as well. You know, we're all in this together, and typically people don't pay as much attention to our spring elections. But, you know, I encourage people to reach out not only to your current elected officials and let them know where you stand on issues that they will be debating, but also make sure you vote in every single election, even the spring elections where people tend not to vote, tend to turn out to vote quite as frequently.
This is a good time to remind you that you can go to myvote.wi.gov, that you can already request all of your absentee ballots for the entire year, and they just get sent right to your mailbox and you can send them back. And it's super easy. Well, with a couple of minutes that we have left, is there anything else that you would like listeners to know or look forward to or engage with?
Yeah, well, you know, ultimately democracy is something that we need to do with each other. It's a verb, it's not a noun. And when we take the time to learn what we all care about, when we take the time to hear what matters most to folks within our communities, I am confident that we realize that we do better. And we build important coalitions and collaborate so that Wisconsin is a better place, not just for us today, but for future generations. We don't need our kids to continue moving out of state. We want them to come back. And that's ultimately why I do what I do. And I look so forward to being able to meet the fabulous people all across the state of Wisconsin and hear directly from them.
I feel like it's a different, maybe a conversation over a drink to hear how you're plotting to get your son back from Brooklyn. You can talk to my mom how she managed to do it. Because I was one of those kids. I was like, I'm getting out of here. And then they came back, though. And so it's possible. It's possible to get us back from the coast once we've left. So, Senator Agard, thank you so much for spending time with us. I'm sure this will be the first of many conversations on this show. Good luck with everything that you have on your plate. I can't wait to follow all the priorities and initiatives that you are spearheading.
Thank you so much for sharing space with me today.
All right. Well, we'll have you back soon. Thank you so much. And for us, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Omar Sheikh will be here to talk about the first year of the Third Street Market Hall. Lessons learned and things to look forward to. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Together, try to love one another right now.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the